The Israel Report with Rolene Marks.
Rolene Marks, good morning. Boker Tov, how are you?
Boker Tov, good. You know, I'm having a good laugh because I hear you say that she's very arrogant but full of personality. And I'm thinking, are you sure you're not talking about my cat?
Yep, yeah, Penny's definitely got a little bit of cat in her. Either way, this talk about arrogance and talk about attitude. Iraq has passed legislation saying that any contact with Israelis will, anyone who has contact with Israelis will face the death penalty.
This is just absolutely astounding. So yesterday, Iraq's parliament passed a legislation that makes any contact between Iraqi citizens and Israelis a crime that is punishable either with a life sentence or even possibly the death penalty. And they've put forward a bill called Criminalizing Normalization and Establishment of Relations with the Zionist Entity. Well, obviously, the Iraqi government don't spend much time on Twitter because there is a significant amount of Iraqis reaching out to Israelis trying to establish friendships. I guess they're seeing what is happening around the region, especially now that we've got the incredible news coming in this morning that our trade with the United Arab Emirates has exceeded $2.5 billion. So you've got to wonder, you know, governments like Iraq are really living in the Stone Age. They're really not future focused, but look at that extraordinary amount of trade between Israel and the UAE. And of course, we can start counting Bahrain, Morocco, and the Saudis, Howard. The Saudis investing over $2 billion into Israel, going through the Jared Kushner Fund. And I'm seeing something quite extraordinary on social media as well, the amount of Saudis starting to talk about talking to Israelis, advocating for Israel. That some of our finest advocates actually come from the Emiratis and the rest of the Arab world, believe it or not. And to me, when I start seeing this kind of movement, I wonder, could we see a big announcement coming pretty soon? But Iraq really taking themselves back to the Stone Age. So the bill essentially says contact and communication of any kind and means with the occupying Zionist entity, its nationals, representatives, whether individuals or institutions or organizations for any reason. Also prohibited are any financial or moral assistance. I can assure you we don't need moral assistance from the Iraqi government to the State of Israel or Israeli organization, alongside the promotion of any ideas, ideologies, principles, or Israeli or Zionist conduct in any form. Those found guilty of breaching the law would face execution or lifelong imprisonment.
But what is the history here? Because, I mean, we know Saddam Hussein was not exactly a lover of Israel. When he invaded Kuwait, the first thing that they did was fired rockets at Israel. He attacked Israel. So we know that history. But in the last number of years, has Iraq been so vocal in their anti-Israel agenda?
No, and I think this actually comes from looking at the successes and looking at people starting to interact with each other. And what is extraordinarily even more arrogant is that part of the resolution says, therefore, we call on Arab and Islamic parliaments to issue similar legislation that meets the aspirations of their peoples. And we can't compare enough to what is going on with the Abraham Accords, that you see this huge difference. And moments after this was passed, parliamentarians were heard shouting no, no to normalization, no to Israel, yes, yes to Iraq. Now, one only has to look at the Iraqi economy and the state of that country, which is just rapidly failing, to that of the highly sophisticated United Arab Emirates, slowly but still doing it, modernizing Saudis, Bahrain with their growing economy and everybody else, to actually scratch your head in wonder.
Well, here's an interesting thought. If the countries in the Middle East such as Iran and Iraq, when we look at these, at the countries that have made peace with Israel juxtaposed to the countries that haven't, maybe the worse the situation in that particular country, the more they need a scapegoat and a reason or someone or somebody to hate because of that lack of success. Countries that are becoming more successful maybe don't need that because their citizens are happy. And I just wonder if we take that same logic, even if it, you know, right or wrong, and we apply it to South Africa, maybe that's why the South African government is moving more and more towards a negative stance on Israel because of its own failures within its own space, whereas a country that is becoming more and more successful doesn't need to find someone to hate in the same way. It's just a thought that popped into my mind whilst you were talking about that.
Oh, well, it's I wouldn't disagree with you there, and you know, this is a modern day iteration of an age old stereotype: when things go wrong, blame the Jews, right? Mm-hmm. And in this case, when things go wrong, blame the Jewish state. And we've seen it play out in so many instances, whether we are being blamed for COVID or whether we're being blamed for, you know, the situation with the Palestinians. We're now being blamed for when a country is failing on a substantial level. Just, you know, blame Israel, must be their fault. Juxtapose that with African states who are taking a look and saying, hang on, you know, we don't have to involve ourselves in a conflict that has nothing to do with us. And we can be supportive of Israel because look at how much Israel is doing for us, and look what a boost it is for our standing and our economy when we work together.
Moving on to the subject that we've been speaking about fairly frequently, Gantz calls the PA investigation blaming Israel for targeting Abu Akleh a crude and blatant lie. What's the latest here?
Well, call me a cynic, but I definitely see a correlation. I don't know, maybe I draw too many lines these days, Howard. This Palestinian investigation comes suspiciously very close to the CNN expose. And to me, it looks like, you know, once you control the narrative, once you get control of the narrative by using a major news network, although I don't know if anybody still sees CNN as credible, didn't CNN Plus tank, you know, faster than a lead balloon? I could be wrong. But they have concluded their own investigation, in inverted commas, saying that Israel deliberately targeted Abu Akleh and killed, and she was running away from the bullets as she was shot in the back. And she was actually not shot in the back, according to the coroner, who said it was inconclusive. He himself, being a Palestinian, she was shot in the head. But I still can't go back, can't help myself but go back to that day when we did get a news alert of a heavy exchange of fire, and then that footage where you explicitly hear Palestinians saying, we've hit one, we've hit a soldier, and then the news breaking that no soldiers were confirmed hit, however a journalist was confirmed killed, and also the fact that the Palestinians who still refuse to hand over their fatal bullet says something to me.
And yet, as you say, I think it is deeply suspicious that the timing here follows immediately after the CNN report. Israelis prepare shelters and Gazans threatened rockets ahead of a Jerusalem Day march. So this is taking place on Sunday, Yom Yerushalayim. Give us the context here. What is it that Israel is celebrating?
Well, it's Yom Yerushalayim. It's 55 years since the reunification of Jerusalem. If you recall, before 1967, Jerusalem was largely divided. We had no access to our holy sites. And we can't forget those extraordinary words, HaKotel Beyadeinu, the Kotel is in our hands now, as the city was reunified. And since then, we've had a whole Jerusalem, and we celebrate Jerusalem Day. Now, I was in Jerusalem yesterday. You can feel a significant increase in the amount of police and security forces presence in the city in anticipation of the big flag march on Sunday. Now, this takes place every year. Last year, of course, it took place around the 11th of May, where we saw the firing of rockets from Hamas sparking an 11-day conflagration. Now, the march is taking place this Sunday for Yom Yerushalayim. The march will go through the four quarters of the Old City, including the Muslim quarter. Hassan Nasrallah, the leader of Hezbollah, who lives in a bunker far away from anywhere where he could be in any possible danger, has warned the marchers of going into the Al-Aqsa Mosque or harming Christian sites. Just a reminder, we have never, ever, ever harmed a Christian site. We will absolutely not be going anywhere near the Al-Aqsa Mosque. These are the marchers, and that Israel respects and enforces the plurality of worship, the freedom of worship in the Old City and across the country. But we have had threats coming from entities in the Gaza Strip saying they are readying their rockets. And yesterday there was an announcement coming from the IDF that the city of Sderot is rolling out their mobile bomb shelters. We are preparing shelters around the parts of the country that could be anticipated to be the targets of rockets should these terror entities decide to fire rockets. I haven't checked myself to see if Mordi and if we here in the center have rolled out our Iron Dome. I anticipate we could possibly be doing that, but we are preparing for any eventuality.
It definitely seems to be getting worse year on year, isn't it?
It is. And you know, while we do believe Hamas are hesitant to pull Israel into a major conflict, we also have to look at the background along which this is happening. The Palestinian agenda has lost a lot of interest from the international community, which is why I think they are grappling and pushing the killing of this journalist, which I believe to be entirely accidental, no matter whose side it comes from. They are pushing that narrative so hard, trying to push the Palestinian narrative into the global media. We've seen it with Ukraine, we've seen it with Corona, we've seen it with Abu Akleh, and absolutely despicable and obscene. We have seen it along the shooting and the massacre of 19 children and two adults in Uvalde in Texas this week. Absolutely grotesque. I've even seen it along the calls to free Britney Spears, free Britney and free Palestine. I mean, this is as obscene as it gets. And of course, they want to topple those Abraham Accords, which are holding strong. And this is why we're seeing this escalation.
What's also worth noting is that somehow we all seem to have forgotten, and because history keeps being rewritten, that the common narrative right now is that Israel is occupying the so-called West Bank and parts of Jerusalem. And if that wasn't the case, well, then there would be peace. But there wasn't peace. Between 1948, when Israel was established as a state, and in 1967, there was no peace. And in fact, the Six-Day War happened because Israel there was a real possibility of Israel being annihilated in 1967. And at that particular moment, East Jerusalem was held by Jordan, and as was many parts of the so-called West Bank. There was no Palestinian state because there just wasn't a need for it, or there wasn't a demand for it between 1948 and 1967. Why that wasn't the case, well, we don't know. But what we do know is that there was no peace. And anybody that suggests that it's because of Israel's so-called occupation of those areas that there is no peace really is forgetting a very crucial part of history.
And we also can't forget that many entities see the entirety or the existence of Israel as occupation, hence the genocidal call from the river to the sea, Palestine will be free.
Before I let you go, we don't have a lot of time, but just tell me about Americans and BDS.
Well, this is absolutely fascinating. Of all U.S. adults surveyed by the Pew Research Center, 84% had heard nothing at all, 53% not much, and 31% a little bit about the BDS campaign. So this raises a question. When we talk about BDS, are we giving them too much oxygen? Because people don't even know who they are.
Well, I'll tell you that I believe that very strongly here in South Africa, which is why I am very hesitant to write in the mainstream press about Israel, because I don't think that South Africans particularly care. We have real issues here that we need to deal with, and I'm not sure that Israel is anywhere on their agenda, despite others pushing for it to be. And I think that is something, this Pew report is something that we need to look at and perhaps take cognizance of, is are we doing the job for BDS that they are trying to do themselves? Rolene Marks, thank you as always, wishing you a Shabbat Shalom, wishing you a wonderful, peaceful and fantastic weekend, and we'll catch you next week.